This is the book of the title deed of the earth. It contains the judgments of the great tribulation by which the Lord Jesus is coming to power. The book is now open, and the judgments are on display. And this book is his authority for claiming both the sea and the earth for Christ. In other words, we find in the Word of God that he puts one foot on the sea and the other foot upon the earth. So he's claiming both for God. And we are told back in Leviticus, the 25th chapter, verse 23, the Lord gave instructions to Israel concerning the land he'd given them. He says, "The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me." Now, there may be some of you that think you own a pretty good piece of the real estate of this earth. Well, I want to say to you that you don't. You say, "Well, you're wrong, preacher. I have the deed and I have the title deeds. And I have the title. It has come down so-and-so, transferred it to so-and-so, and so-and-so to so-and-so, and I paid good money for it, and it's mine." Well, I still say you're wrong, because your title didn't go back far enough. Somewhere back, somebody stole it from the Indians. And then back of the Indians, they got it from somebody. They took it. Maybe there was nobody there, and they just walked in and occupied vacant property. But who does it belong to? Well, your property belongs to God. And I don't care who you are, you haven't paid him for it. The earth is his and the fullness thereof. Now, God not only claims the land, but he claims the sea and the land. And in Psalm 8, 6 and 8, listen to this. "Thou madest him," that is man, "to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea." Now God says, "I own the seas also, as well as the land, and I have given this to you. I put man on the earth, and we are a tenant on the earth. Some of us haven't paid our rent lately. But we are in a little world that God created. It belongs to him. Man hasn't been able to pay him for it yet. Now, we have here something else that is quite interesting. This angel now claims the earth and the seas for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a method that we are acquainted with today. When Columbus landed here in the Western Hemisphere, on an island, he got off the ship and went to the shore and planted the flag of Spain and claimed it in the name of the king and queen of the country that had sent him out. And he planted the flag there upon the shore. That's been a method that's been used from time to time. When men come to unoccupied territory, they've claimed it. Now, with the title deed of this earth in his hand, that is, in the hand of this angel, and by placing his right foot on the sea and his left foot upon the earth, in a great voice, he claims all for Christ. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will be through judgment. As creator and redeemer, the world belongs to him. And the book here is described here as a little book. The reason I think it's called that is because the time of the great tribulation is not going to be long. I think that we've come to the halfway mark through the book of Revelation, and we're going to be told that there's not much more time left. And so there's not much more to write down. It has to be a little book. And we're told that. For instance, in Romans 9:28, it says, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." The great tribulation is really a short time. The Lord Jesus said it was a brief time. Daniel labeled it as 7 years. That's not long, certainly. And the seven thunders here, I think, is God's amen to the angel's claim. And Psalm 29:3 says, "The God of glory thundereth." And in Job 37:5 it says, "God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend." And Dr. Vinson makes this very enlightening comment. He says the Jews were accustomed to speak of thunder as the seven voices of God. And if you examine Psalm 29, many of you, if you remember back when we were studying the book of Psalms, I called attention in that psalm to how many times the voice of the Lord is mentioned. Brief psalm, but it occurs seven times. The voice of the Lord, the seven voices of God. And they spoke of thunder as being that. So this is something that would be understood by Israel. And it's too bad that we don't take time to study this enough to find out what it means. Instead of trying to cut off the corners and trim it down and make it fit into some system of prophecy. Reminds me of the lady that went into a shoe store and said she wanted a pair of shoes, described the kind she wanted, and the clerk there says, "Well, what size do you wear, madam?" "Well," she says, "I can get a 4 on." But she says, "Really, 5 is my size. But since 6 feels so good on my foot, I always buy a 6. Well, may I say to you, that's like some of these systems of interpretation. They trim it down to fit in to the system. Well, let John say what he's saying here. These seven thunders here as the voice of God. I think the voice of the Lord Jesus now in heaven confirms what this angel has claimed, because he's going to come to power on this earth.